May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, O Rock and Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
All the best heroes have an origin story. And today, in a lengthy reading from the Old Testament, we get one of the best origin stories of all time, the meeting between David and Goliath, forever etched in the mind of every child who hears it. I love getting to tell the story in our preschool chapel. Whenever it comes around, I grab a keffiyeh out of my closet, one of these traditional scarves I picked up in the Holy Land, and one of the shepherd's staffs from our Christmas pageant supplies. And I tell the kids about how David was small, but also very brave, how shepherds weren't considered very clever, popular, or important, how they smelled a bit more than the average person, surely, but that despite all that, they knew how to take care of those entrusted to their care. I remind children that you don't have to be big to stand up for those you love. Mostly, I love looking around at their young faces and finding the ones who haven't heard the story before, a moment that many of us take for granted. All the best heroes have an origin story, and all the best origin stories tell us something about who we are and what we long for. Now, though this is the defining moment in David's budding political career, this is not the first time we meet him. Last week, we witnessed David's anointing. That took place in the context of a family dinner in Bethlehem, though, a private gathering. Today, we're reading about David's big break into the public scene. And during the summer months, in ordinary time, the Sunday lessons from the Old Testament tend to slow us down. Compared to other times in the church year, they keep us in line with the longer story. That's why we are getting to spend more time with David this second week in a row, familiarizing ourselves with the golden years of the Davidic dynasty some 3,000 years ago. And there is good reason why this story is so compelling, why this first public appearance by the heir of the Israelite throne sticks with you. We have all witnessed the power of Goliath. We want David to defeat the giant just as we want Rudy to score that final touchdown. We want Frodo to destroy the ring. We want Mr. Smith to take down Washington. At one point or another, we have each felt insignificant and powerless in the face of forces beyond our control. And what David calls forth in us is the belief that good can overcome overwhelming odds. That at the end of the day, the God who is mighty to save does not need worldly power, strength, or status to change the course of history. That God uses the foolish things of this world to shame the wise, the weak to shame the strong. That God casts down the mighty and lifts up the lowly. But we are also all too aware that this is just the beginning of David's story, an interruption in the usual pattern of the world and how power works in it. David, ruddy and handsome, may not stand head and shoulders above the rest like King Saul before him, but he is shrewd and he is cunning. And once he rises to the kingship, the story shifts. We see his trajectory veer into sinister territory. He commits adultery and then covers it up with murder. He watches his family stumble into disarray as his sons do much the same. In his old age, he mourns the death of his loved ones as the power struggles that he himself set into motion set the stage for a bloody transfer of power. Our leaders, even the best of them, will eventually let us down. That is the nature of being human, imperfect and fallible. David serves as proof that good leadership isn't made up of one's performance in a single fight, but instead on a lifetime of decency and character and integrity. In Alexander Solzhenitsyn's unforgettable words, the line between good and evil runs through every human heart. We would be wise to remember that, not just so that we can smugly say, "I told you so," once the hero tumbles down from their pedestal, but so that we may truly face the Goliaths of this world, a work that will require not a single battle, but a lifetime of courageous action, a steady presence of constant learning, not just the lucky break of an underdog. Now, to learn about this lifetime's work, it helps now and then to take the long view. The encounter with Goliath may be David's breakout moment, but there is another kind of origin story at play here too. It begins before David is even born, the story of Ruth, his ancestor. In the book of Ruth, there is no battle. Instead, it opens with a terrible famine. Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, are widowed in the middle of this famine, a terrible fate for women in an agrarian society, always on the brink of poverty. Ruth is a Moabite, and Naomi is an Israelite. For all intents and purposes, their people are sworn enemies, much like David and the Philistine Goliath. But instead of dueling for power, they swear allegiance to each other. Ruth leaves her people behind and follows Naomi to her homeland. Ruth chooses to go into foreign territory for Naomi's sake. "Where you go, I will go," she says. "Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." In the face of dire circumstances, they support one another and keep each other safe. And instead of death and conquest, the book closes with feasting and new life. In this new land, away from her people and the places she once called home, Ruth marries Boaz, a relative of Naomi's, and together they make of Naomi a happy grandmother. A chorus of women gathers in the closing scene. "Blessed be the Lord," they say, "who has not left you this day without next of kin. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to a son." Ruth is the mother of Obed, who will be the father of Jesse, and Jesse is the father of the boy who would be king, David himself. Friends, in the face of the Goliaths of this world, start close in. Start with the everyday work of presence, the steady love of Ruth, the wise and cunning thrift of the people whom you will always remember having your back, even if history books will tend to forget them. It may be that one day you will face down Goliath, that history will call upon you to take a stand, slingshot at the ready in the face of the tools of war. But until that day comes, the daily work of common decency, mutual respect, and loving care cannot cease. This is the work before us today: to love justice, to seek mercy, to walk humbly with God. So let us be courageous like David, shrewd like Naomi, and loyal like Ruth. Let us show the world what a people who love to the very edge of their ability to love looks like, right here, right in the place we call home. Amen.